Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome the author, Marilyn Brookwood. The new book is The Orphans of Davenport. This is the story of eugenics, the Great Depression, and the war over children's intelligence. Here in the 21st century, it is commonsensical that a loving family is critical to the development of a child to adulthood. Marilyn Brookwood is a psychologist. She's worked in public education and adjunct faculty position at the College of New Rochelle. Writing this book from the documents assembled over the last 100 years from heroic work at the University of Iowa, we begin with one of those heroes at the University of Iowa in the 1930s during the depths of the Depression. Iowa went from being the fourth wealthiest state to poverty as all farming prices collapsed with the dislocation of the weather, the climate, and worldwide affairs. In Chicago, at the American Association on Mental Deficiency, 1939, a man takes to the podium in the fourth day. It's unseasonably hot. This is Marilyn's reporting. His name is Harold Skeels. He's a professor, he's a doctor, he's a psychologist. Marilyn, congratulations and a very good evening to you. Who is Harold Skeels that day? What is he presenting and what opposition does he face? Good day to you.
Thank you and my appreciation for your interest in my book. So Harold was a conventionally trained expert in animal husbandry when, for reasons we don't understand, he took himself to the Iowa station and began to do research on children's intelligence. He began by thinking that children really had the same intelligence as their parents, just as everybody else thought in that time. And as he did his research, he stumbled on very, very surprising results. His first surprise was testing the intelligence of children in the Davenport orphanage and discovering two children who were 13 months and 16 months old, who had extremely low intelligence. And he realized immediately he was going to have to place them in an institution for the very lowest intelligence groups, and they would remain there for the rest of their lives. So he tried to do that, and no, it was so crowded, all of the Iowa's institutions were so crowded, that he wound up accepting a very unusual offer to place them with women who had low intelligence, who had been placed in that institution. They were called morons, and this was eugenic time, so that was perfectly acceptable in almost all states in the United States. And so those two little girls were sent to this institution. How did Harold know that they had such low intelligence in the first place? He did it by looking at milestones. There really weren't then any kinds of tests, formal tests, but he had seen hundreds of little children, and he could see that they didn't do the things that little children normally did. They didn't try to stand up. They didn't try to speak. They didn't follow you with their eyes. They weren't deaf, but they didn't respond to sound. So that and many other qualifications, he thought that they were in the categories of imbeciles, which was then a formal category in intelligence. And he sent them to go to another institution called the Woodward School for the Epileptic and for other children who were had low intelligence, but who were medical cases. So these two little girls arrive, and they each one of them is placed in a ward with adults, women, who had intelligence that was extremely low, and who were between the ages of 9 and 15. And the women had, you know, no one took much very good care of them, although it was better than in Davenport. And they loved these little girls. They suddenly saw a place for themselves, and they started to care for them. So they took them around, they showed them the school, they talked to them incessantly, they taught them to walk, they taught them to be toilet trained, they sang to them, and they showed them pictures. Their families might have sent them money, and they asked the staff to buy gifts for them. And the children responded so remarkably to this care that after 6 to 7 months had passed, the children, these two little girls, became almost normal. One day, Harold Skeels, making a regular visit to Woodward School, not to see these little girls, he didn't even remember they were there, with a colleague of his, Maurice Kodak, walks into the main hall, and he sees these two little normal-appearing girls, little toddlers, playing, and he wonders why they're even there. And he asks who they are. Someone tells him, these are the two little girls you sent us from Davenport. He almost didn't believe it. So he the next day, he tested their intelligence. And when he did that, he found BD was almost normal in intelligence, and CD was getting there. Her intelligence had come up a great deal, but she wasn't quite normal. And he was so stunned by this that he decided he wanted to observe them for a year. He didn't move in, but every couple of months he would go from Davenport to Woodward, and he would look at these girls and give them more IQ tests. And he saw their IQs advancing and advancing.
And this is what this is what Harold presented to the meeting in Chicago. I want to frame these yes. details. And I want to say, in the room, he's not being applauded. He's being refuted in people's faces. They're frowning at him. In fact, they've already called his presentation moron nursemaid study. Who is the opposition in the room that day, Marilyn? What do they call themselves?
No one really wanted to believe that Harold could be right, or that the people in Iowa could be right about this. They thought this research was tainted in some way. And the people who were in the room were eugenicists. Most of America's psychologists in that time were believers in eugenics. The leader of the group that attacked Harold was not present. His name was Lewis Terman. And Lewis Terman was the head of the psychology department at Stanford University, a very prestigious position. And Lewis Terman was one of the leading eugenicists in America.
His allies were in the room, however, and they all knew that Harold Skeels would be there. I want to go several months later to frame the seriousness of the opposition. This is 1939, spring of 1939. We now go to the winter of 1940. Everybody knows what's going on right now. The world's at war in Europe, and it's about to be a war that the U.S. is drawn into. However, children are being abused. Adults are being abused. The world is at war. But in February of 1940, the director of the Iowa station, this is the University of Iowa. It has a school attached to it, and it studies children's psychology. His name is George Stoddard. He climbs the steps in St. Louis, making a presentation to a similar association. You report that they attacked him ferociously. They were waiting for him. What did they fear? Why were they attacking Stoddard so quickly? And then we'll turn to what eugenics is. Why that day?
So Stoddard, I would say Stoddard wasn't attacked ferociously, but they were waiting to attack him. And Stoddard had hoped at this meeting, which was a national meeting of psychologists from all over, who none of whom really knew in detail about the Iowa work. It wasn't like today when people can read these things on the internet. So Stoddard was looking forward to an opportunity to present the Iowa work. But Dr. Terman had made sure that didn't happen. And the Iowa, most important Iowa papers were not presented. And Dr. Terman also made sure that a paper that should have been presented, that one of his colleagues had written and would have given the Iowa people an opportunity to refute the criticisms of the Iowa work, that paper also was kept out of the discussion. I won't go into why, but it's all in the book. And so George Stoddard was waiting for a ferocious attack. The actual attack didn't come in the way he thought. It came later. But the people who were there went home and read some material that Terman had sent out, and Terman's, another colleague of Terman's, Quinn McNamara, had published. And after that, no one believed the Iowa work. You know, these Iowa people came from a little university that didn't have a lot of prestige. And here were these very prestigious psychologists from all over the country saying, no, this can't really be happening.
They were denying common sense in the 21st century. So let's turn to, who are these eugenicists? Where do they come from? What is an IQ test in the early part of the 20th century? And how was it used and distorted in human history? The Orphans of Davenport is the book. This is the story of eugenics, the Great Depression, and the war over children's intelligence. Marilyn Brookwood is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bauer.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.